chapter number 3. And while everybody's turning there, what I have tonight is very plain and it's very simple. And I've been excited all day. I've had that song on my heart all day. Had the opportunity to preach at Sandy Flat again this morning and had wonderful liberty. And that's carried out throughout the whole day. And I just can't help but feel God's presence. And I don't ever want to take that for granted. If you ever try to stand up in front of a group of people without the presence of God, that's hard. But when you've got it, that changes everything. I ask you tonight to pray for my brother. I wanted him to be here tonight, but I guess he wasn't able to make it. But the Lord knows what he's doing, and I put all faith and confidence in him. And, you know, when Preacher Wynn had asked me or talked to me about this earlier about coming, I already had this in mind because I had the opportunity to preach this a few weeks ago. And the funny thing about it was is when I stood up, it was at Sandy Flat, and I stood up and I started giving my introduction, and Brandy said, "Oh no, he's going to start telling everybody about the Board of Education. He's going to go into politicking." And she got kind of nervous because I don't tell Brandy what I'm preaching about before I get up because I don't want her to think, "Oh, okay, this is something I've heard before," because I've preached different messages that are kind of the same, but there's differences in there. So I didn't want her to think, "Well, I've already heard this before." And so, because the Lord has different things for different groups, but I just keep thinking, you know, she's like, "He's going to go up there and he's going to start politicking." And I said, no, I mean, but this is what the Lord laid on my heart, because we need to know why we do the things that we do. Every one of us. I mean, this is a very simple message. This isn't something that I would call rocket science, but this is the foundation of everything that we as Christians do. Everything. And when I was looking at this, you don't know how many people had come to me when I said, "Okay, I'm going to run for the Board of Education." You don't know how many people come to me and said, "Finally, somebody like us is going to run. Finally, you know, somebody," everybody that looks, or groups that look for people, they look for people like them to vote for. And there's different feelings, there's different sides, and all those things. We understand that tonight. But when I really got to thinking, I don't know how many times, and Brandy can attest to this as well, how many times we heard, "Like us, like us, like us." And tonight that's what I want to preach on. Like us. If somebody was to ask you tonight who you are, what would you tell them? Who are you? Well, how would you explain yourself? And this song, when I heard this song, all I could think about is Jesus. Can you tonight tell somebody who you are without telling them who Jesus is? And that's something I really want you to think about. When you tell people about your life and you explain to them, if you meet somebody and somebody says, "Well, tell me about yourself," how far can you go without bringing up Jesus? How important is he to you tonight? And when I look at this and I thought about this verse or these different verses in this scripture here, like I said, it's very plain and very simple. But tonight I want to preach on like us. What does like us mean? I've got 4 points. Number 1, sinner. Number 2, saved. Number 3, sanctified. And number 4, servant. I'd like to begin reading here, chapter number 3, verses 9 through 20. Verses 9 through 20. It says, "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. In the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith unto them who are under the law. That every mouth may be stopped, and that the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." The first point I have tonight is sinner. One of the first things a person has to learn in life, this is the most important thing, this is the first most important thing that a person can learn in their life, is that they're lost. You will never find Jesus until you get to the point you understand this. This is something I've preached before. I know you've heard it preached here, but just like Preacher Wynn said a few minutes ago, you never know who this is for. I was in a service one time before, and an invitation wasn't given out because it was said, I believe everybody's here has made a profession. So, I don't feel that there's a need. I don't ever want to look at things that way because I don't know what God is doing in your heart. Verse number 9, it says, all is under sin, every single one of us tonight. Every single one of us. This scripture is all inclusive. Nobody is left out. The Jews can't proclaim their being God's chosen people to their salvation. The Gentiles, we can't proclaim anything either. Anything aside from the love of Jesus, besides Jesus and Him dying for us on the cross, we can't proclaim anything. We have no entitlement to salvation aside from Jesus Christ. And this is what Paul here is making plain and simple in Romans. He's telling everybody we're all under sin. Every one of us. So the Jews and the Gentiles both can understand what is taking place. Verse number 10, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Nobody is righteous. You know, we see some people who think they are self-righteous. You see people that have ways and they think that they've come, they've arrived, and they've got it all figured out. But nobody is righteous aside from the Lord Jesus. There's none that understand. There's none that seeks God, we see in verse number 11. What a pitiful state that is when you think about how, and you look back in your life, and I look back on my life, had my parents not taken me to church, had I not been exposed to Jesus, to the teachings of the gospel, to His word, what would my life be like? When or if would I be saved if that had not taken place in my life? Because the Bible says here, none understand and none seek after God. He came to seek and to save which was lost. He was the one that came to us. See, we can't take any credit for this tonight. We got to understand all this is about Jesus. And right here, verse number 13 and 14, it talks about the mouth. And the mouth, I tell you, there's different scriptures that talks about the mouth, but it says their throat is an open sepulcher. That's like a tomb, an open tomb. And if you ever looked into an open tomb that maybe had a body in there that's decaying, that's an awful sight. That's a smelly sight. And that's the way the mouth here, their tongues, is being described. The poison of asp is under their lips. The mouth, verses 15 through 18. Their feet are swift to shed blood. The destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have known not. They have not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. No fear. That's nothing new to preach about tonight, because I know that we've all seen the signs that people have put on their cars and the clothing they have, but that attitude is very real. Here in this county, it's a very real thing when you see people, the actions that they have. And if they know what you believe in, they automatically don't like you. And I know I touched on some of this the other night, but I can't express to you how real this is. You know, we don't have to go anywhere tonight. You know, when I was thinking about this before, I was thinking about Jonah, and I was able to preach on that again this morning, but I was thinking about him going and crying against Nineveh. You know, how hard that would be. But I ask you tonight, how hard would it be for you as an individual to go cry against Boone? You by yourself, are you willing to stand on the corner and start proclaiming Jesus? You know, we see people on the sidewalk there a lot of times at Wendy's with their signs and things. And what do you think about that? Are you brave enough to do that? Do you have enough faith and confidence in the Lord Jesus that you would do that? A lot of times people look at them and they say, that's another one of them. They're crazy. What's he thinking? Why? That's crazy. Another one of them crazy Christians. One of them far right wingers are just crazy. Probably believes in the Constitution and the Bible too. That's how people look at you. That's how people look at us tonight. And I want you to understand that. That's a real thing. These people here, there's no fear. Give me what I want. Let me do what I want with no repercussion. That's their attitude. And it's very real. I know growing up here and being around the influence of some of the aspects of the university, I would not tell you that it's all bad, because it's not. There's a lot of good people that work there, and I believe there's Christian students that attend there. And I've seen some and met some and enjoy their fellowship. But there is a sect there that has nothing to do with the Lord Jesus. Nothing. They don't want nothing to do with Him. Now, how confident are you in trying to win somebody like that to the Lord? That's people that's educating people in our county. That's at the college level. And you can bring it on down to the local school level as well. They're teaching theory is fact. I've got a problem with that. That should be disturbing to us. That should make us think, what is going on here? We don't have to worry about what's coming. It's already here. And it's been here. And if you have been a parent, and there's one of the things with Josh, he comes home. He loves science. He loves makes great grades. He loves it and enjoys it. And I'm glad he is. But the thing about it is, he comes home with all these questions. Well, my teacher says this. Well, Josh, this is what the Bible says. You as a parent this morning, if you have a child in the local school system, you better be filtering what they are taught. You better be paying attention, because it's not long till the homosexual things are being taught. And I'm sure it already is. I've not heard of it yet, but I'm sure that it already is. All these little things, they ease in. Evolution. All theory. All these things that's being taught. But they ease in and they ease in. And then one day you look back, just like Nineveh. They had fallen completely back into where they had started. After that great revival they had, after Jonah went and cried against the city, and the whole city had a huge revival. And what happened? They turned back. 150 years from Jonah, that city was completely destroyed. Where are we going to be in 150 years? I was talking and preaching about this morning. This was along the lines of what we preached on the other Wednesday night. But you think about it. The book of Nahum covered a 50-year period, 51 years. And you see how far it went in 50 years. Now you look at Boone. You look at our county. How far has it been in 50 years? How far has it went? And why? Who's going to stand up? Who's going to do something about it? See, there's this feeling, well, we're outnumbered. That crowd's got us outnumbered. Not if we will all stand up for what we believe in. I don't think we are as outnumbered as we think we are. I've met a lot of people, a lot of Bible-believing people that are excited about what's going on. When I look back and I think about the some of the votes, and I see the helplessness that was on these parents' faces. I saw them in the crowd. They were there to support their children. They were there to support what God has placed in their heart. And I see the votes going on. I see the remarks that was saying. I just seen the hopelessness on their face. And that told me in my heart, there's got to be more to it than just this. We can't go in number and sit in a crowd and our vote not count. What we say and what we believe needs to count. And for that to take place, we need people on the boards, people on the commission, people in these places that can actually do these things, that says, okay, I believe like you. You are like us, and I'm going to stand for you. See here, Jesus stood for us. We wouldn't even be like Him if it wasn't for Him. There's so much that can be said. And here, verse number 19 and 20. It says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And we see that no flesh is justified. That is every single one of us. That is the helpless state that every lost person is in. Every person is or was in that state. There's not anybody that was ever created. There's nobody that can step aside and say, but this. Everybody falls within that category at one point in time in their life. Either you're there now or you used to be. But now you see this right here. This is one of my favorite things that you see in the Bible is but. Verse number 21, my second point, saved. It says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Right there he is, Christ Jesus. I've got that circled in my Bible. Everything leads to Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through the faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Verse number 21, like I said, but. See, we find ourselves, every one of us that saved, finally got to the place we found ourselves in the helpless state that we were in. I know I was young when I got saved. I was 12 years old. So I was blessed in being saved at an early age. You know, I know a lot of people get saved when they're older. And I think they get to see a greater contrast maybe in the life that they were living. And then, after being saved, the difference. I was thankful that I was saved at an early age. You know, when we look at our children, they're not saved at an early age. They're being subjected to a lot of different things right now. Have been for a long time. But you think about the things that are being taught in our schools. There's more than enough things that's being taught to cast doubt on what we believe in. You go through the school system. I have a friend, this was years ago, and we were trying to witness to him and talk to him about the Lord. And he was a student at ASU. And I remember that he was talking about predestination is what he was talking about. And it was brought up in his class. And one of the professors was teaching it. And me and some of my friends that grew up in church around here, he had moved here from an outside, I think it was up north somewhere. So he moved here from somewhere else. But see, me and my friends, we were exposed to preaching and teaching in our local churches here. I went to church before I went to school. So that was an influence that was already there for me. And I thank God for that. Not everybody can say that. But he had went through this, and we were talking about predestination and how some people, no matter what they did, they couldn't be saved. We tried to explain to him, it's not God's will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. We tried to explain to him the difference and what it meant, but he finally said, well, this guy, he's a doctor. He's got his doctorate, and he's smarter than you, and I'm going to believe him. That's what he said. Take away what the Bible says, but see, that's where man's confidence has been placed. Education and knowledge and all these things that you can learn in the secular world. So many people put so much emphasis on that they put none, if any, on the Bible. But yet at the same time, when you talk to these people and you witness to them, do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Yes, I'm saved. I'm confused. I don't see how they can believe all these different things, but yet proclaim Christ as their Savior. When at the same time, they're denying the very teachings of the Bible. It's like they try to pick and choose these things, like, yeah, I'm good to go, I'll see you in heaven, but no, I don't believe half of what you're saying. I've got a problem with that. There's a disconnect somewhere. I don't understand that. I don't see how people can do the things that they do, can claim the things that they claim, and yet say, yeah, I'm Christian. People throw that word around so loosely. It don't mean to them what it really is. I've talked to people, and I may have said this here, I'm not sure. But me and Brother Bradley Swift, we were witnessing to a fella that works in one of our local businesses here. And Brother Bradley did a wonderful job in talking to him. And he asked him, he said, do you believe? Are you saved? Are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. And so, you know, we started talking about things and trying to get some background information. You got to know where a person comes from, because a lot of people will say a lot of things. It don't mean the same thing to everyone. And we finally got to the point, and he said, well, who is Jesus? And he said, well, I think he's a prominent person in our history, but I don't know that he's the Savior. And this is somebody that had just moments prior to this proclaimed to be a Christian. What does like us mean? What does that mean? When you say like us, do you know what it means to be a Christian? What does that mean to you? How would you define that? Would you not have to know Christ before you could be Christ-like? Amen. Amen. We see here, but. In verse number 22, unto all and upon all. Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Jesus is all-inclusive. That's one thing that is so wonderful about God's word. Nobody wants to be left out. Right. Nobody wants to be the odd man out. Well, God made a way that nobody had to be left out. You were either all-inclusive on the lost side or all-inclusive on the saved side. And there's only one way to get there. Verse number 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Now, one thing I want us to see in verse 23 real quick is something I hadn't seen until today, but it means something to me. It says, for all that have sinned. And then it says, and come short. Come short is a present tense. It's a present tense word. I sin every day, and I'm not proud of that. You know, a lot of people try to make you out like you're self-righteous. When you start trying to make a stand on the Bible, they'll try to make you out to be a hypocrite. Well, I'll go ahead and tell you right now, I mess up every day. I sin every day. Do I like that? No. That's why I needed a Savior. Because right there it also says, all have sinned and come short. We all need a Savior. The very best you can do, you're not perfect. Now, we're made perfect in Jesus. God sees us as perfect through Jesus, but we fail Him. We're still in this body of flesh. One of the arguments when people start trying to throw that up, that bothers me, but they don't understand. They don't understand. That makes me know that maybe they're not reading their Bible. Maybe they're not studying their Bible. They don't put as much time and energy and effort into this Bible as they should, as we all should. We got to keep His Word in perfect context. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. We see verse 23, all have sinned. Verse 24, justified freely. That means be clear from guilt. Justified freely. And the propitiation that Jesus is for us, that's to appease one offended and render him favorable. That is exactly what Jesus does for us. That's what he does for us. We can't reach God. Aside from Jesus, we can't reach out. We can't reach him without Jesus. We are justified by believing in Jesus. Now, think about the verse Colossians, I think it's 6:2, or 2:6, 6:2, I can't remember exactly, but it's talking about how, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. It's by our faith. It's all by our faith in what we have in Jesus. A lot of people have a hard time putting their faith in God. They have a hard time believing that He exists, but yet they will buy into all these theories because they think the people that are teaching it are smart. That's the key. That's where some people get hung up, because they see plaques on a wall. Well, this guy must know what he's talking about. The experiences I've had with the Lord are so real that I don't have to have a plaque on the wall to justify that. And if you've walked with the Lord any time at all in your life, you know yourself what I'm talking about. How real He is and how powerful He is. And what it is to be saved. Until you're saved, you'd never have an idea of what it's like to be saved. I can't really explain that fully to somebody. I remember the night I got saved because, see, when I was younger, I'd made a false profession, but I did what I thought I was supposed to have done, but it was all in the mind. It was not in the heart. But the night I got saved, I can tell you, everything changed. I've never experienced anything like that before or since. And how amazing, what an impression that means to me. I think about this. I remember when I was, I believe, a sophomore in school. We had a class, we had a biology class, and the first teacher that we had was not so great, and my grades reflected that, and they sent in a new teacher, and my grades shot up. Boy, I learned a lot. She was very interesting. But one of the things I remember to this day, and I'm sure everyone here probably has a like story, but as she opened up and she came in and introduced herself, she said, "Okay, for this to work out like it's supposed to and everything, what you're going to need to do is check your faith at the door. Check your belief at the door. Check your religion at the door." You know, and for the past few weeks, all I could think about was Sister Chelsea singing that song. That's what Jesus is to me. You think about the words of that song. Now, how can you leave that at any door? And how could you introduce something to our children that would cause them, that a teacher would cause them to check that at the door? I'm talking about younger kids too. I mean, I know this isn't something that's just said in high school. But you imagine what Jesus is to you tonight. Where can you leave him? Where could you drop him off and say, "Okay, that's enough. That's enough. We've had enough of God today. We've had enough of Jesus today." I want to use the word Jesus. I want to use the name Jesus because people don't like that name. People fear that name. You can say God, but Jesus is who I'm talking about. How far can you take him, and where are you willing to drop him off? You see, that's what we got to understand when we start compromising. When we start saying, "Okay, well, it's too far gone. There's no point in us trying. There's no point in us fighting. We might as well just, well, they're going to get it anyway." Well, I don't believe in that. And even if they do get it, I still believe in fighting it the whole way. And even fighting it after the fact. Because I can't drop Jesus off anywhere. Because he can't drop me off anywhere. You think about that. Think about that. That's a done deal. We are justified by believing in Jesus. Verse number 27, it says here, where is the boasting? Where is boasting then? Now that's one of the things I was thinking about, how a lot of people try to boast and say, "I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And if I get elected, I'm going to make this change and I'm going to do this." I can't boast in anything. I within myself can't do anything. Every bit of the power I have comes from him. Comes from Jesus. Every bit of it. And the Bible plainly says, where's the boasting? What can you boast in aside from Jesus tonight? What can you boast in? Is there anything that you can step up and say, "Well, yeah, I did all that"? Well, who gave you the strength to do it? Who gave you the knowledge? Who gave you the ability to do it? Is there anything that you can proclaim that you can do without God? So how can we leave him out of anything that we do? Anything. How can we leave him out? Because God is God of all. Number three, and I'll hurry along. Sanctified. Romans 6, chapter 6. Verse number 1. It says here, and this here is my third point, sanctified. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that we are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we should be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse number 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but ye are under grace. When Jesus saved us, he saved us completely and fully free. We are free, free people. That's an amazing thing when you think about the sin and the condemnation. I remember the conviction I was under and the freedom that I felt immediately when I said, yes, Lord, you, not me. I need you. I'm lost. I need you, and you're my only hope. Immediately, I was freed. And there's no other freedom that you can have like that, none. Knowing what God, what Jesus has done for us in verse number 1, could we continue in sin after that? Like I said, we live in these fleshly bodies and it's a battle. But should we continue in sin? God forbid. Amen. Verse number 2, how could we? How could we continue long therein any longer? In verse number 3 and 5, the baptism unto the newness of life. Verse number 6, we should not serve sin. And verse number 7, we are free, free, free. And I was thinking back to this about being sanctified, being separated apart unto God. And I remember, I was 12 years old when I got saved. But you know, it was so many years before I counted myself as being set apart unto God from my end. Now, when he saved me, I was fully justified and fully saved. The work was completely done. But you know, it was a long time before I settled in my heart, at my expense, that I was set apart for him. Because there's a lot of saved people that are not where they should be with God. There's a lot of people that have not sanctified themselves unto the Lord. You know, we see different people, and this is one of the most dangerous things and one of the most hurtful things that saved people. I use the word saved people because saved people and Christians. Christian is Christ-like, and there's a lot of saved people that get off and do things they shouldn't be doing. That confuses things. That makes, when the world looks at us, they say, well, they go to church. I thought they were saved. I was there when they made a profession. Do they have it or do they not? Well, if they've got it, and I'm not doing some of the things that they're doing, well, surely I've got it. I done the same. I went up just like they did. Should there not be some fruit in our lives? Should there not be something that says, you know, there's different people I've talked to and met with and don't know exactly what their life is, but there is a different spirit there. That's a testimony of the power of Jesus and what he can do in people's lives. We see here being sanctified, being set apart, and I see so many people claim to be, but yet things just don't seem to add up. Like we were saying before, it's hard to find anybody that's lost anymore. Most everybody I've talked to will admit, will say that they're saved. But yet when you dig a little bit deeper, they don't even know Jesus. This here, once you're saved, you're freed from sin completely. But are you separated unto the Lord? Have you made it to the point in your life? I remember under Preacher Mark Annis' preaching, he preached a message on cultivation and being converted, and what a impact that made on my life. But it seems like for years after that, I still didn't fully say, Lord, you, not me. Just as the missionary, when he brought those passport applications, laid them down, how many people would be willing to do that? And I think back when the Lord called me to preach, it had to be his way. It had to be all or nothing. When you lay it out on the line to God, it's all or nothing. You can't ride the fence and be fully sanctified, set apart. There's no fence riding. And once you get to a place in your life that you've completely sold out, how could you turn back? Where can we turn back? If you're fully separated, how could you turn back and fall back into the old man? Verse number 12, let not sin reign in your mortal bodies. Verse 13, it says to yield unto God, because we're no longer under the law, but we're under grace. Romans chapter number 6, verses 15 through 23. Servant. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of the men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanliness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end of everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're servants to whom we yield. Verse number 16. Verse number 17, from the heart. It has to be from the heart. I was thinking about that earlier today, about how men will say things, people will say things with their mouth, but their hearts are far from Him. Are we trying to impress people? I was thinking about these things here today. You know, one thing I've been very careful about in doing is not trying to sell Christianity. When I think about things, when giving little speeches and going places, you know, people try to give out why you should vote for them. But one of the things I think about is, if you're not careful, some people will use that title as Christianity as a selling point. My Christianity is not for sale. I can't sell to you what I didn't buy. Jesus bought that with His life. My Christianity is not for sale. That's not... Now, when we find people that believe like us, now that means something. And I understand it that way. But I don't use it as a form to sell or to try to buy something from somebody. Does that make sense? I was thinking about that a lot, how people, it's like sometimes you can see somebody work in a room and they try to throw out some things to see what the person will buy it after. My Christianity is not for sale. That's settled. That's something that... Just think about that in your life. Think about that and how important it is to guard that. Verse number 20, it talks about what you were and what fruit and now ashamed. You know, I was thinking about some of those before I was saved, how there's nothing back there that I want to go back for. You know, a lot of people are afraid to yield their life to God. They're afraid of what they might have to give up if they choose Jesus over themselves. And I'll tell you, there is not one thing in my lost life that I would go back for. Nothing. I mean, you know, like I said this morning, we were talking about some things. People say, you know, you get out of it what you put into it. But I promise you, I have gotten way more out of the Lord, way more out than what I have put in. You think about the study and the time that you spend in God's Word, and I find it so prevalent when I try to preach or teach and I study something out and the Lord just brings it out and I was like, wow, that's amazing. Now, Lord, please bring it out to them like you just brought it to me. And I use the analogy before, it's like having honey poured all over you and you're trying to, it's all stuck on you and it's hard to get out sometimes. But God, the Spirit and what He does, He is so amazing. Verse number 22, free from sins. Free from sin equals servant of God. And it's all the gift of God. He didn't have to do this, but he sent his son Jesus Christ to come to this world to die for us. And that's getting close to the end of the actual message here. But I just want you to think about what we're talking about here. What does this have to do with anything? This is the very basis of everything if you're a Christian. It doesn't matter anything else what we do. We will not be successful if we do not remember who we are, where we came from. There's no boasting of anything within ourselves. It's all in Him. And it's amazing because when you're going forward and looking into the future, you know, we as people are limited. You know, we live by faith. We have faith that God knows what He's doing and He's already there. And I know He is. But, you know, when I look back over the past few years, I stand in amazement of how things have happened. Years ago, me and Brandy were trying to sell our house, getting back in Watauga County because this is home, this is where we want to be, this is where we feel led to be. And with the market as it was, we just about couldn't give our house away. But see, the Lord worked all that out. He worked all that out. He got us back home. And, you know, when I was thinking about making a difference in our county, I think about our churches. I think about our schools. I think about our community, everything as a whole. And you know, after I surrendered to preach, I was thinking, well, maybe the Lord's just going to give me a church and I'll start a whole new life aside from what I've been used to doing. And different churches have come and gone. And I trust God's plan. I know He has a plan. And I kept thinking, Lord, why? Why has this church? Why didn't this church work out? Why didn't this church work out? Why haven't you placed me in a church to pastor? God has a plan. And when I look back and over the last few months, the different things have happened. When I read what happened with the In God We Trust posters, that really bothered me. I mean, that made me mad just because you had a three-letter word, God, on a poster. They tried to make it out like that we can't have that. And that wasn't even put up for a vote. That was done at the attorney level as a suggestion. They didn't even vote on that part of it. Like, no, we're not going to have that. And then finally time went off. And you know, it's a bad thing when higher government has to step in and say, you guys missed it. And that's what happened. That scared me. That concerned me. What is going on here locally in the Bible Belt that you've got the government stepping in on our local people telling us that's unconstitutional? That's not right. And I'm thinking, what's going on here? Yes, that drew my attention to this situation. And then time went on, and immediately, it didn't take long until that was changed, but they were forced into changing that. And then a few weeks go on, or a few months, I guess, actually, and then this book, that's all everybody wants to talk about is this book. To this day, that's all everybody wants to talk about. I try to talk about different issues and different things. What's the issues? Well, how do you feel about that book? I'm like, that vote has come and gone. And I fully expressed the whole way how I felt about that book. But if you must ask, I'll tell you again, I'm against it. Doesn't take rocket science. How can you believe in what we just talked about and stand for that? Say, yeah, that's okay. That's all everybody wants to talk about. So you got one side saying, oh, they're the book banners. And then you got the other side that's progressive and they're educated. Everything's fine. Don't believe them other boys. They don't know anything. It's amazing. I don't know how things are going to come together. Obviously, I don't know how, when you put things up to a vote, until it happens, you don't know. You don't know about the voter turnout. You don't know if the majority of the people that are against the book, because that's all everybody talks about, you don't know if they're fired up enough that they're going to go express that concern. I remember the night when they were voting on that book, the final appeal, when I was sitting there with Brother Patrick, and I just saw everybody was waiting anxiously. The news was there. Reporters were there. I got interviewed by a lady on the radio. How do you feel about this? I don't believe in it. And everybody was anxiously waiting, and they had it. And I'm not throwing anybody under the bus, and I'm not naming any names, but they were going down through. How do you feel about this? How do you feel about this? What's your thoughts? And one of the people that we thought was like us voted for the book. And if you could have been there and see how the wind, it was separated just like this. You had half and half, and you had over here the side that was against it. If you could have seen how the wind, that defeat, that sadness, and it didn't take long. They were so upset because that confidence was lost. And I just keep thinking about how hopeless I felt because right before that, the attorney stood up. They called in the ACLU. I mean, they had all kinds of big dogs there to play. And I remember as the attorney stood up, he said, there's no case law to support what is taking place here tonight. There's no case law that says in the past when a vote like this was taking place that it went this way and this is what happened. You know, so much of our judicial system is built on case law. And once a precedent is set, a lot of times they revert back to that same precedent. And they'll say, okay, this is what happened in the past. We'll err on the side of caution and go that way again. But he stood up and he said, there is no case law on the situation that you're voting on tonight. You, as a local board, have the power and the authority to vote on this however you want to. That authority has been afforded to you. It's your responsibility to do it. And when I sit back and I heard that, I was thinking to myself, well, the pressure is off. Big Brother is not there to hinder this situation. They have a free will to vote however they want to with no legal problems to come down in the foreseeable future. And when I saw the defeat when they voted that in, I'd already filed to run before that. But for our votes to count, we need people in these positions. For so long, everybody says, I ain't getting in politics because good people don't get in politics. Well, that's the problem. That's the problem. Everybody's afraid. People are afraid, well, you're going to run me through the mud. As a preacher, I've faced enough opposition already. Is Jesus worth it? It is to me. People, you know, the people in opposition, when they see you with your little black book, they don't really care too much for you anyway. And that's fine with me because I believe in what I'm standing here tonight upholding. I believe in it. And I just remember thinking about how important it is for people to get involved in these positions. And I, looking back, and I was thinking about how, again, like how things have progressed to where we are tonight. And how amazing, there's been all kinds of gamut of emotions. Some days I feel very confident, some days I don't. Because, you know, the opposition starts rearing up. And they really try to hit you hard. I will tell you this, I've had a liberal, I guess, get so upset with me that on her page that she posted about who she was endorsing, the one thing that she could throw up against me is Bible verses. I did get her to post some King James Bible verses on her page against me. I told Brandy, I said, I count that as a win. Yeah. They're going to see that in that little KJV out beside of it. And you know what she said? And it was talking about having done all to stand. And at the bottom of it, this is what she put about me. Well, at least he took a stand. You know, as some people might look at that as a negative, but I told Brandy, I said, I don't take that as a slam. Yeah. At least she can recognize that. If that's the worst she can say about me, I will take that. Win, lose, or draw. That's what we are supposed to do. Amen. We're supposed to take a stand. I just can't express to you enough how important it is. I was thinking about how the Lord places us in different places. You know, I was thinking about in church, you know, why am I not a pastor? Why is this happening? Why is this not happening? Preacher Wynn's here. Brother Bradley, he's out in a patrol car. He's out going in different places. Brother Bill, he's out somewhere tonight, going through all these different schools, all the different places he's going. Brother Kyle, going through the school system. And I just kept thinking about how unique this is. Because the other night, I've got to attend a lot of different meetings. And the other night, me and Sister Brandy went to what's called the Lincoln Reagan Day Dinner. And they have everybody in the state. They have candidates from all over the state running for Supreme Court justices, people running for Congress. And you talk about, see, they go in progression. They go in progression from the top seats that's being sought all the way down to what the school board was considered to be at the bottom. But in my case, I believe it's most important, or I wouldn't be doing it. But it was so unique to hear all these people. You know, they had their 3 minutes. And then as it comes down and gets smaller, well, you got 2 minutes. And it got on down to me, and they said, 1 minute. And I was like, well, I see how important this is, but hey. You know, and I sit there because I don't try to predetermine too many things because I wanted to be able to write down some things that was happening in the moment. You know, what's being talked about right now? What's being talked about? And I jotted down so many different things. And I was like, okay. And I got 1 minute. And they will put up signs, 30 seconds. I mean, the clock's ticking once you stand up. And when I got up there, I had all these things to say. And the only thing I could talk about was the Lord. And it dawned on me when I got home. I got to witness to I don't know how many candidates. That room was full. And that was amazing to me. And I was like, all I could think about is fear not for what to say, because when you're there, I'll give it to you. And a whole room got to hear how I felt about the Lord. That done something for me. I can't help but feel that God has placed me where He's placed me. And I'll take that. We need people in all these different positions. We need people that's willing to stand, not be afraid. We're going to be faced with opposition, but you are faced with opposition already. I want it to count. I want it to mean something. But that's what I had tonight, and I don't know how much more to say about it. I know who I'm voting for. I know who the candidates that's running with me. There's three of us that's running together. Basically, I believe it's going to come down to a slate. You got three positions that's open, and there's three people on the progressive side, and there's three people on the conservative side. And it's up to the people to decide where it goes from here. I don't know. It's not like applying for a job, and we'll call you back and see if you made the cut. When the people vote, that's what we get. So at this point in time, I know where I stand, but I don't know what's going to happen. So that's what I can tell you tonight. But I just want to tell you,